It's the Mornings with Ed show straight up at 8 o'clock, and every day we take you through the numbers, not only of the human effect and the human toll of the COVID-19 virus, but we try and take you through the economic toll and effect from this pandemic. And I feel like sometimes as we do it, we're walking through quicksand because it brings you down. Well, to help guide us through the quicksand, I have Laureen Gilbert, the founder and president of Wealthwise Financial Services, a firm headquartered in Irvine. We are very lucky to have her with us this morning. Laureen, thank you for being with us today.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Thank you again. As I was talking to the listeners, as we go through the economic numbers, there's a lot of stuff that I can read, and I just can't make sense of or tell you what it's going to look like in the future, which is why I'm delighted you're with us this morning. This morning, we got retail numbers that were horrible. The retail is down 8.7% in March. Was that an...
Yes, they were down 8.7% in March, and it was expected to be down 8. And so whenever we have a disappointment that's greater than the disappointment that was already expected, you can expect a big sell-off. And so, you know, certainly it wasn't a surprise to anyone that retail is off. Brick and mortar is a thing in many ways of the past, and that whole sector of retail is changing. And so as investors think about that, it's thinking about what are the companies that are going to emerge from this recession and be able to change their the way they sell goods.
Okay. So adaptation is what we're looking for here.
Absolutely. Okay. Everything has to change after the coronavirus.
Right. So the numbers for March were down 8.7, but really March, we only shut down for the last couple of weeks of March. What is April going to look like?
Probably much worse, you know, and that's definitely, you know, let's compare it to manufacturing. We saw that the expectation for this month from the Empire State Manufacturing Survey was expected to decline by 35, and now the number is 78.2.
Wow.
So similarly, I think you're going to see the same thing when it comes to retail when you move from March into April.
Okay.
Big decline.
Okay. Also, we're expecting, we haven't gotten them yet, but we're expecting unemployment numbers again this week. And they're supposedly 5.5 million additional unemployment claims this week, bringing our total to well over 21 million for a 4-week period. Do we see a flattening of that curve at any time?
You know, yeah, right. When we were already at practically 17 million before this week, and now, like you said, maybe another 5.5 million to go. You know, those numbers are going to continue to increase until we do get back to work and small businesses and large businesses are able to hire again. So this is an ongoing toll on employment, and one of the reasons that it's going to impact us economically. Because if you're unemployed, you're certainly not able to spend money.
Right.
And 2/3 of our economy is driven by consumer spending. So
right.
That means we have a long road ahead.
Right. Which I want to take this moment and let the listeners understand something, that the $1,200 individual check that they're rolling out for everybody isn't an unemployment type of check. It's a stimulus. It's essentially for us to put back into the economy. Am I crazy about that?
You're right. It's meant for everybody to go out and be able to use that money and spend it. And as a good example, I've gotten the question, you know, what if I'm retired and I'm receiving Social Security, but I didn't have to pay taxes? Even that person, if they're receiving Social Security and they fall within the income thresholds, will be getting a check.
Right.
So there are a lot of people who are going to be getting those checks in the mail,
right,
or through their bank.
Right. And again, it shouldn't be looked at as part of an unemployment package. It's more of a stimulus package as to let's get this economy back and rolling. Now, the IMF forecast has suggested that the world is in the early stages of the most severe economic crisis in nearly a century. And they're predicting that unemployment in the United States will rise to 10.4 this year. and an additional 9.1 in 2021. Are we really realistically looking at maybe 2022 before we get back to 2019 numbers all the way around?
Right. So it depends on what you're looking at when it comes to numbers, because when we look at the stock market is usually ahead, both on the downside as well as on the uptick. And so even as the numbers are as dire as they are, markets will hit a bottom and then eventually start to recover much sooner than employment is back up. And if you just compare that with 2008, 2009, right, the market had started to recover. We hit our low in March of 2009 and then started, you know, a decade of a bull market run. And that was much earlier than all the bad news of the economy had fully been experienced. So, So as far as the numbers of unemployment, yes, our expectation is probably getting up to that 20% number, right, at some point. And the economy will start to recover well before we work through that unemployment number.
Okay. Is the general consensus that it normally takes on average 10 quarters to recover from a recession?
It depends. Okay. It depends. You know, right, some recessions are, faster recoveries than others, and it just depends on GDP growth during that time. So, you know, one of the things that we saw in this last recovery and why we had such a long bull market run was that we had slow growth, slow GDP. So if you look at cumulative GDP growth over the period of our expansionary period of time, that expansionary GDP growth was actually less than other recovery periods. Okay. So even though it lasted longer, the cumulative GDP growth was lower. So it just depends on how fast the growth is, as to, you know, how the recovery goes.
Okay, it's like bending back a tree limb, and then it really depends on how far back you bend it before you get a nice snap back. That's a
right,
stupid
or how,
analogy.
Or how fast, right? how fast that snap back happens,
right,
you know, to get back to where you were, as to how long, you know, it takes to recover.
And the Fed said last week that it's going to supply financing for banks taking part in the Small Business Administration's Paycheck Protection Program. And additionally, the central bank said it was boosting its Main Street lending program for small businesses with an additional $600 billion in loans, as well as $75 billion in funding from the Treasury Department. And that's part of the CARES Act. Are we stretching the Fed way too? Is the Fed stretching themselves too thin? And will they over the coming year?
Well, the Main Street lending program was really designed for your larger companies.
Right.
And they needed to address not only small business, which had already been addressed, but they needed to address kind of the mid-market and larger companies. And so that was part of the Main Street lending program. But the Fed still has a lot more room to grow. They can continue to lever up, as it were, but they need to be careful because there will come a point, you know, they're saying we'll do whatever it takes.
Okay.
But they do need to be careful. And, you know, I think they are. I think what they're trying to do is balance out being responsive and trying to get ahead of this so that the recession isn't as deep as it would have been if they had not acted. But yes, they've also got to balance out that we're extending our debt. And they've got to be creative in ways to be paid back. And so I like the creative thinking that's going on in D.C. And I think part of that is bringing in people, outsiders, people from the business world who have experience in the business world. Our Treasury Secretary is one who came from Goldman Sachs. So he has a long history of understanding the business world and can think creatively about how to solve these issues.
Okay. And tell us about the 401ks and retirement plans and there's a moratorium on penalizing people withdrawing early from a 401k, right?
Right. So part of the CARES Act was to allow participants to have access to their money when they normally wouldn't have access to as much of that money. So the rules before the CARES Act was that you could take 50% of your account balance that was vested in your 401k up to $50,000 and take that out as a loan. Now that number has gone up to $100,000 and 100% of your vested amount to be able to take out a loan. But that's what I want to remind participants is you still are having to pay yourself back with interest. And so, and if you take it out now when the market is lower, you've got the double negative against you, taking it out when it's lower and paying yourself back with interest.
Right.
So it really is meant as a last resort if participants needed that. And by the way, the plan sponsor has to amend their plan and agree to that provision. It's not an automatic provision. It's something that each plan sponsor has to determine whether they're going to offer it and amend their plan document.
So some plans, you may not be able to do this if you're on some plans.
Right. Okay. And so if you're a participant, you can go to your employer and ask them about this provision. And I personally have received phone calls. I've actually received phone calls from a number of business owners, right? Because we work with business owners, and a lot of business owners going, so is this a good option for me to take money out of my 401k plan? And my response is, for most of them, no. It's better to go through the PPP program and the EDIL program, get access to capital through the SBA, than to tap into your own 401k resources.
Okay. Now, as an owner of a small business, we know that yesterday Governor Gavin Newsom released a 6-point plan on if we were to open back up, the things required. Clearly, we're not ready with the very first one off the bat, which is testing. We need mass testing. But as a small business owner, what are you going to focus on as you welcome your employees back? What should small businesses focus on first as their employees come back and they start filling the rooms up, filling the offices up?
Right. Well, I think, as you said, safety is first and making sure that people are healthy and well. And so I think that's critical since everybody has been practicing social distancing and staying home and doing the right thing. I think that as far as my business is concerned, I think we're in a good spot, in a good way to be able to start going back into the office once we are, we're considered essential services. So in a sense, we already are, but we are practicing that we only have one person in the office and everybody else is working remotely until it is kind of clear. But I think that it changes the dynamic of workplaces. I think you're going to see, you know, a lot of changes out of the coronavirus. I call it, you know, there was the BC before the coronavirus and AD after this disaster. So I think we're going to see a lot of changes when it comes to the way businesses work, the way that we live our lives. When it comes to businesses, you're going to have more separation between whether it's cubicles or people staying farther away in their offices. So I do think it changes everything. It changes shaking hands with people in business that you used to, that was a common greeting,
right,
and also a way to build trust. That all of those things are changing.
Right. I'm hearkening back right now to our hospitality days here in Laguna Beach. I ran into you, just happened to run into you. What you hug you get, and that those days are done.
Right.
Those days are gone. So
let's hope we can still hug people eventually. But you know, they say that 80% of infections are transmitted through hands.
Right.
So, in a sense, I think it's even better. A hug might be much better than a handshake.
Agreed, 100% on every aspect of that. Now,
right, exactly.
a serious question here on if we don't do it right. Let's say a lot of people are barking to open up the economy right now, or open it up before May 1st, or whatever. Let's say we don't do it right. What will a second financial shutdown look like, and will it be worse?
I don't know that we'll have a second financial shutdown. You know, I do think this was necessary. I think that it necessary on a lot of levels to bring down the curve, to save our healthcare system, all of these things. I sure hope that we don't have a second big economic shutdown, because we are already in unprecedented times with shutting down our economy. And I don't know that we can sustain a continued long-term shutdown. Right. So, I think that this has offered us a way to bring down that curve. But eventually, I do think there are going to be more people who do get the virus. I think it's going to be it's something that has become part of our society. Right. It is here. And now it's a matter of finding those vaccines or antiretrovirals. And like you said, testing, all those things are going to be very important. I do think what we'll see is more people having to individually stay home. So somebody gets sick, they're going to have to stay home. All these different ideas as far as rotating, you know, larger workplaces, you know, the team A, team B, team C, you know, how does that work? You know, people from one group go in, and then if somebody gets sick, all of them are out for a while, and then the next group comes in. So once again, I think it changes our workplace and makes us think about how do we keep our workplaces safe.
Right. And clients coming to you in the coming months, do you see an expansion in clients asking you to invest in medical device companies and pharmaceutical companies? Do you see the big jump in the investment for those companies?
You know, we've been very bullish on healthcare in general and biotech selectively. So that's been an area that we've liked for a while now. And so we're actively looking. I'll give you an example. Today, United Health came out with their earnings, and they actually beat both top line and bottom line numbers for them. So, you know, certainly the whole sector of healthcare has grown to almost 20% of our GDP number. So we have a large part, healthcare plays a large part of our GDP numbers. So it's certainly an area for people to look at. When it comes to people asking about things, I'll say that, you know, people are asking the question. People want to know, you know, how should I invest my money? What should I be looking at? And of course, that's what we help our clients do, right, is figure those things out by analyzing both their risk tolerance, their time horizon, and what we see are good opportunities. So we take all of that into play.
This is Laureen Gilbert, founder and president of Wealthwise Financial Services. If you miss any portion of this, you go to the KXFM website. We'll have it up on the podcast a little bit later on this morning. I cannot thank you enough, Laureen, for guiding us through the financial maze that we're going through right now. I'd love to have you back next week.
Thank you so much. And I want to let you know that we do have information for people who are looking for the PPP and the EDIL information. We do have that information for people, and we can be a resource for them.
Okay. And what's your website? How do we get on? How do we get that information from you?
WealthwiseFinancial.com. WealthwiseFinancial. Our number is 949-748-1177.
All right. If you missed that number, I have it here for you. You can give me a call here at the radio station. Laureen, thank you so very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Have a great rest of the day. Thank you. You as well. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
That's Laureen Gilbert, WealthWise Financial. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.